I'd like to write the title of my message on the board.
Make sure I spell it right.
I'd like to look into 2 Kings today and read about Josiah. Do you remember Josiah? 2 Kings, the 23rd chapter, actually in the 22nd chapter is where the account starts of Josiah, in the 22nd and the 23rd chapter of 2 Kings. And before we read that, I'd like to give a little bit of background because we're not going to have time to read all of this. This passage talks about King Josiah. Both of these chapters do. Josiah was the great grandson of Hezekiah. You remember Hezekiah? And Hezekiah had a son named Manasseh. And Manasseh was king of Judah, Jerusalem, after Hezekiah died. And Manasseh ruled for, I believe the scripture said, something like 55 years. And Manasseh was a very wicked king. And when Manasseh died, his son Amon reigned. Not for very long, because Amon's servants ended up killing Amon in Amon's house. But for a period of 55 to 60 years following Hezekiah, Manasseh ruled most of that time, and as I said, was a very wicked, evil king, as was Amon. They built the high places. They were steeped in idolatry. They were into witchcraft. They were cruel. They allowed their children to pass through the fire. They were the epitome of wickedness and far, far from the law of God. And as you can imagine, over the course of 50 or 60 years, that is enough time for children to be born and raised in a culture and in a time where their consciences were very much taught and shaped in a very wrong way. People could begin to believe something to be truth when it's not truth at all. Worship gods that are really not gods. Believe that it is right to participate in wrong when it's never right to participate in wrong. There was a lot of years there that took place. Well, Amon passed away when he was killed by his servants. And following Amon, then came Josiah. Does anybody remember how old Josiah was when he became king? Was he real old? He wasn't very old, was he? Is anybody here 8 years old this morning? Anybody 8 years old? We got anybody here? 8 years old. We have an 8 year old. He was 8 years old and he became king of Judah. That's quite a responsibility to be king when you're 8 years old. The scripture tells us that Josiah was a godly king who didn't turn to the right and didn't turn to the left. Scripture and history teaches us that Josiah was perhaps the most, if not the most, godly king since King David. He was a man that believed in doing right, which strikes me as significant after being raised, well, he was only eight, but after being in a time when his father and his grandfather were very wicked people. But the scripture tells us that Josiah, during the 18th year of his 31-year reign, so he reigned for 31 years, starting at age 8, And during the 18th year, I don't remember, he might have started it before the 18th year, he had it in his heart to have the temple rebuilt. And while the temple was being rebuilt, Hilkiah the high priest found the law of God. The law of God had been hidden away, and they discovered the law. And they must have, maybe the high priest, they looked at the law perhaps. But he had somebody send the law of God to Josiah. And they brought the law to Josiah. Now Josiah probably had people that had taught him, had advisors, no doubt. That young of age, he needed somebody. It doesn't matter how old we are, we need advisors, don't we? I don't think we ever get past that point. But he hadn't heard the law of God like this, read. They brought the law of God before Josiah, and they read the law of God. And when they read the law of God before Josiah, it said in the 22nd chapter, in the 11th verse, I think that's right. Yes, 22nd and 11. That when he heard those words, he wept. And he rent his clothes. And he humbled himself before the Lord. And I want to say something. I want to pause for a minute. Folks, the law of the Lord means something. The word of God means something, should mean something to us. Do you know what concerns me today? Oh, it's the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? Well, yeah, I'm going to think about it. Well, there's some things I don't really understand about it. I'll give it some thought. And then it gets pushed to the side and we go on our way. The Word of God means something. It's sacred. It's right. It's truth. It's holiness. It's the Word of God. And in His mercy, He sent us the Word of God. And when we hear the Word of God and it causes us to recognize that we are caught up short, which it will, because we're human. And this is the Word of God. That's its intent in many ways, is to help us know the way to go, because naturally we're going to go in a way we shouldn't go without the law of God, without His Spirit. When we hear that, when the Spirit of the Lord comes and opens to our hearts and to our understanding, truth that exposes a place in our life where we need help, may God help us to take it seriously. May we humble ourselves. May we be contrite, get low before God, recognize that we are human, we're in the earth, He's God in heaven. We're going to face Him. He's our judge. And I fear today that in the world we are too casual. We can get caught in that. We have so many things that take our attention. The world doesn't view the Word of God as sacred as it should be. And if we're not careful, we can get to the place, well, read it if we have time. If not, got other things. Well, I'm not sure I understand it. Looks like that might maybe pointing out something I need to move up on, but you know, I'm not sure everything around. Maybe I'll come back to it. And we don't give it the sense of urgency that we should. Josiah gave it a sense of urgency. Josiah heard the word of the Lord and he rent his clothes and he wept and he got low before the Lord, and he had the word of the Lord read to the people so that they too could hear the word of the Lord. And Josiah then took action. He didn't just say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I was wrong." Back to the Sunday school that we had this morning. It wasn't just, "Lord, I'm going to repent and tell you that I wish that I wasn't like this and please have mercy on me," and then go continue doing exactly what we've always done. But Josiah heard the word of the Lord and he took action. Josiah took immediate action. Josiah felt the responsibility of being king and having responsibility of the kingdom, and that went on in the kingdom was his ultimate responsibility. And I just want to say this morning, parents, young parents, your home is your little kingdom, if you will. You have little people in your homes. You're the one that have responsibility of what comes into your house. You have responsibility of what goes on in the rooms of the house. You have responsibility what your children are exposed to and what they are learning from the actions that you are allowing in your own life. May God help us feel the enormity of that responsibility. Josiah felt that responsibility. He wanted the kingdom, the people, to understand what the word of the Lord said. And may we help do our part that those around us would also hear the word of the Lord. And he took action. And he went out and he began to tear down the high places. He began, one scripture that you read in there, he ground some of those places into powder. He began to take down the places that were looked to and looked up to and worshipped errantly. Take them down and get them out of the picture that they might be able to serve the one true God, regardless of the cost. And I want to make that point this morning. It's not always easy to do that. In fact, many times it's difficult when we come across things in our lives that are within our control, that we recognize that for right to be accomplished, that it's going to involve difficult change. It's hard to do that sometimes. Change is difficult anyway. And it's even more difficult when we realize that it's going to involve something that's going to be difficult for me to do. But Josiah did it. No doubt there were people that didn't like what he was doing. He was crossing cultural boundaries. If you want to get somebody fired up, start talking to them about how wrong their religion is and their belief is. That'll get people woke up. When you start doing that, and for 55, 60 years, they were living in a way that they shouldn't be living, allowing things in their lives and worshiping gods. And Josiah read the word of God. He said, no, this is wrong. We are going to do away with it. And no matter what the cost was, Josiah, with all of his heart, with all of his mind, with his soul, with his strength, he went about to accomplish the word of the Lord. And so with that background, I'd like to look in the 23rd chapter of 2 Kings and the 15th verse. And I want to read these verses. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel in the high place, which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he brake down. And he burned the high place and stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove. Now listen to verse 16. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, which proclaimed these words. Now listen to this too, verse 17. Then he said, well, what title is that I see? And the men of the city told him, that's the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah, and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres. You ever done much spying? Well, if you have, I hope it's the good kind of spying. What does it mean to spy? Spying means that you're on constant watch. It means that you're on the lookout. When you're spying out something, now there's different people engaged in different kinds of spying. But spying can involve spying on people that are close. Spying also involves spying out things that are afar. And when I think about spying, I can't help myself, but I can go back to my elementary school days, and you know, you think of reading those books. You remember the big ships, you know, they have the big pictures, and there's a man in the little basket, you know, way up in the mast of the ship somewhere. Dangerous to get up there, by the way. Those rope ladders weren't very safe. So they only were getting up there because they felt like it was important, because I wouldn't want to get up there unless I had to. Windy, the ship's going back and forth. There wasn't a rigid ladder. I doubt they had a safety harness on. There's probably some people that lost their lives, but it was important. And so these people would climb up this ladder and they'd have a spyglass. You remember seeing pictures like that in the old picture books? And they're up there in the ships and they're looking out, spying, trying to look to see what they otherwise wouldn't be able to see on the deck. Maybe they're looking to see if there's land coming up. Or maybe they're trying to figure out if there's pirates in the area. Maybe there's some danger. Maybe there's a ship with a black flag and skull and crossbones on it that's waving in the wind. And it's headed towards their ship. And their intent is not good. And so these people that are up in the way up in the basket up there looking out, their intent is to understand what is out there that might be coming towards them to do them harm, so that they can alter course, so that they can make provision, so that all of a sudden they don't see somebody climb over the top of their ship deck with a sword in their hand and they're caught unaware. Did you know that it's important for us to take the time and to go to whatever degree we extent that we need to go to understand what is approaching our ship, our life, the lives of our children that are in our care? It's important to spy those things out. It's important to look out, to take deliberate action, to understand what is out there that's approaching that I otherwise may not be able to see. I want to understand what it is that I'm doing, the direction that I'm going. Not just right in front of my ship, not just in front of my life, but what are the second and third order effects that are going to happen if I continue on this way? Am I going to reach land? Am I going to reach safety? Is this a good path? Or am I sailing right into the path of the enemy? Sometimes we can get caught in a place where we say, I can handle it. I can handle that out there. But what about your children? What about your children's children? What about those that are looking on? What about the little boats that are going to follow where you're going? Maybe those little boats aren't fortified like you are. Did you know that God wants us to think about those things? God wants us to be a light for others to follow. The Lord's looking to us to look out ahead, to understand what actions am I taking today and how am I living today? How is it going to affect those that are following me, those that are around me? Am I being diligent to know what's going to affect me tomorrow based on the actions that I'm taking today? And Josiah, it said that as he turned, and I don't know exactly what that means. You know, I thought about it in a couple different ways. In one way, I thought about that maybe he was just turning to do something else, but he was so focused on finding what was wrong that something caught his attention. He turned back around and said, "What is that up there?" Or perhaps as he turned 360 degrees, as he looked in front of him, and as he looked behind him, and as he looked from side to side, He spied something that didn't look right. The prophet said in Lamentations, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord." Let's search. Let's look. Let's look in front of us, beyond us, to the side. And as Josiah turned, he spied out and he said, "What is that? What is that sepulcher? What is that up there on the mountain?" In the 16th verse. And they told him that what it was. And it said, "He sent and took the bones out of the sepulcher and burned them upon the altar and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, which proclaimed these words." Do you know that it would have been easy for Josiah to look up there and say, "Oh, it's just dead men's bones? Oh, okay, well maybe that doesn't matter. It'd probably be okay." Do you know that there's a lot of things that are easy for us in life if we're not really careful, that represent wrong, that we give them a place sometimes. And sometimes we can tell ourselves, "Well, that thing's not alive in my life. I have control over it. It has no power anymore. It's dead." And yet it's something that represents or was or used to be something that wasn't right. Maybe having an influence on those that are coming after us. And Josiah looked up there, and even though it was just bones, those bones were given a place. They still had influence. They were still looked upon. It was still something that reminded people, perhaps turned them again and reminded them of the gods that they used to serve. I'm not talking about an Ebenezer stone in a good way, but a sepulcher that represented everything that was wrong. And Josiah didn't allow that to remain, but he took action. The Hebrew writer said, "Take the more earnest heed to the things which ye have heard, lest at any time ye should let them slip." You know, he could have said, "Take heed to what you've heard." Or he could have said, "Take earnest heed to what you've heard." But he didn't say either of those. He said, "Take the more earnest heed." Josiah heard the word of God, and he took the more earnest heed to the things which he had heard, lest at any time we would let these things slip from us. Because the scripture said, "For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast," and it is, "and if every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" And I'm stirred by this today because we have the word of the Lord. God has blessed us with the word of the Lord. He's blessed us to be in a time where the word of the Lord is not hidden away somewhere, where we don't have access to it. We have access to the word of the Lord. May God help us take the more earnest heed. And when we see things that are contrary to the word of the Lord, that we would, as Josiah, do something and take action. And so Josiah, after destroying so many altars, after making so many other changes that affected the people all around him, it seemed like that he might have justified himself and said, "You know, I've done a lot. That thing up there, yeah, probably shouldn't be there, but I'm gonna leave it be." But he didn't. He didn't let that even hang around, but he spied it out and he destroyed it wholly and completely, never to be present again. Have you ever had anything in your life that you knew you probably shouldn't have, and so you decided to get rid of it? But you didn't really get rid of it. I mean, you made it easy to pick back up again. Have you ever done that? I remember when I was a child, I had a blanket. Now, I wasn't a child that was just attached to my blanket. But I did have a blanket. And I'm old enough to remember my blanket. And I remember deciding that it was time to get rid of my blanket. So I decided to throw it away. But I had to be careful how I threw it away, because the garbage can in the kitchen had a lot of nasty stuff in it. But my mom had a garbage can that had the scraps from her sewing machine in it. It had thread and scraps of fabric, and it was a clean trash can. And so I threw my blanket away in that trash can. Stuffed it all down in there. I still remember doing that. And I proudly walked into my mom and I said, "Mom, I threw my blanket away. I'm done with my blanket. I threw it away." And she kind of looked at me and grinned and said, "You did?" "Yep, I threw it away." She didn't say a whole lot more, and I promptly went and pulled my blanket back out of the trash can and went on my way. I didn't really throw my blanket away, did I? Do you know there are things in life that we can be attached to that the Lord wants us to get rid of in our lives? There are things in our lives that He doesn't want us to just set aside with the intent of picking back up and we feel a little bit better about it. But there are places in our lives He wants to do something special for us. He wants to give us something special where we're not attached to that may be wrong in our lives. He wants us to be like Josiah, where we hear the word of the Lord and we're willing to do whatever it takes. And again in verse 17, he was still spying out and he said, "Well, what about that over there?" And before he went and destroyed that sepulcher, he stopped and he asked, "What is this about?" And they said, "Well, wait, this is good. This isn't bad. Did you know that sometimes..." And he said, "Let's leave it alone. This is good." Did you know that sometimes in our zeal for doing right, this is an important point, saints. Sometimes in our zeal for doing right and for cleaning house and for throwing stuff away and for grinding stuff up into powder, which there are things that we need to grind up in powder, sometimes in our zeal, we can also run right over the top and destroy things that are good. We can run right over the top of things that are progressing towards good. You know that Jesus said in the 15th chapter of John, "Every branch in me that beareth fruit, He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit." And sometimes I fear that we as people can see something that doesn't look right. We are on a mission with zeal to clean house, to make right what is wrong. And we don't take time to stop before we clean something else out and level it. And say, "What's that?" And then ask questions after you get rid of it. Josiah stopped. He said, "What about that over there?" And they said, "That's good." He said, "Then we're going to leave that alone." And I just want to encourage us today that the Word of God also teaches us that just as the Lord wants us to rid ourselves of those things that are evil and wrong, and to protect our households from things that are evil and wrong, that we also exercise caution that we get before the Lord before we just run over the top of something that may have some fruit that it's starting to bear, but it doesn't look like it's all the fruit that we think ought to be there. And so because it doesn't look exactly like we think the tree ought to look, we're just ready to cut the tree down and demolish it. Did you know that not everybody's in the same space spiritually? We all haven't grown to the same place. God deals with this differently. God, He uses different time frames to help us understand sometimes a need that we have in our lives before He can show us something else. There are times there's things in our lives that they do need to be changed. But it's not time yet, because the Lord's still using that to help us recognize something else that maybe we need help in. And with time, the Lord will get other people to those places. But sometimes in our zeal without knowledge, sometimes in our with good intents, we want to be right. We want to show the Lord we're willing to go all out with all of our heart, our strength, our soul, our mind, and we're ready to go out there and get the job done. And yet the Lord sometimes wants us to be cautious too, like Josiah did. And before He cut that sepulcher out of the mountain and burned it, said, "But what about that? Maybe it kind of looks the same from the outside. Something that wasn't right that we just got rid of. But what is it? What's inside it? Maybe it's not just dead men's bones. Maybe there's something in that represents wrong. Maybe there's something there that needs to be nurtured." And I just want to encourage us today, let's do that too. The lesson of Josiah is to do what's right in the sight of God, both in getting rid of what's wrong and to preserving what's right, and to take the time that it takes to understand what it is that we're getting ready to do. Spy it out. Understand. Look from a distance. Think about the second and third order effects of what it is you're getting ready to do and how it's going to affect your life, your children's lives, somebody else's life that may follow after. Because if we don't do that, we can do a lot of damage. We can destroy and burn things, and all of a sudden somebody can come up and say, Did you know that just yesterday this person was crying out before the Lord for help, and we just came along and tried to set the record straight with somebody? But we didn't know that because we didn't take time to be careful. And on the other hand, we can let things hang around too long. Things that are eaten away at us, that the enemy says, that's dead. You don't need to worry about that. That doesn't have any influence over you. That's just dead men's bones. And we give things a place in our lives that the Lord would like to say is time for that thing to go. I want to be like King Josiah. I want to not turn to the right or toward the left, but I want to be humble before God. I want to understand what the word of the Lord says. Isaiah told Hezekiah, Josiah's great-grandfather, he told him, remember, he said, "Set thy house in order." Why is that important? Why is that important for us? Did you know that God wants us to set our house in order? Because one of these days, we too are going to stand before God, the righteous judge. He wants our house to be in order. I want to have a good end. I want to have my house set in order so that my children, those that I have influence over, those that I work with, those that I meet in town, that we live our lives in a way that we can be a light that others can follow. The things that are good, that they remain. The things that aren't so good, that we know how to get rid of those things in the right way. I want to begin, I want to continue, and I want to finish my race well. I want to get to the end of the way where Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous, shall give unto me in that day, and not to me only, but to unto all them that love his appearing. I want to be in that number, don't you? And the good news this morning is that we can. Regardless of what's in your background today, regardless of, you know, the missteps that we may have taken, because we have all been there. We have all erred. We have all come short of the glory of God. We have all lived lives contrary to the gospel of Christ, to the law of God. But this morning, we don't need to be discouraged or dejected because of that. We need to just do what Josiah did. When we hear it, let's get down low before the Lord. Let's ask for forgiveness. And let's get up with resolve and confidence that by the grace of God, we can go forward and take action to effect that which is good. And if we'll do that, God will bless your life. He will forgive you in the places where you need to be forgiven. He'll give you grace in the places where maybe grace was absent before because we didn't ask. And He will hold our hands so that one day we can see Him and hear those words, "Well done, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." May God bless each one of you this morning. Let's be encouraged to press on. Amen.